previously on Compassion Radio.
The biggest challenge is to get to the pastoral leaders and say, guys, you need to work with your music leaders. Worship is about God, not about your style, your preference.
Yeah.
We looked at Ephesians where it says, submit to one another out of preference for Christ.
Yeah. Out of preference for Christ. What a phrase.
What a radical concept.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
From the ends of the earth to where you live, this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells of the new thing God is doing in some of the world's toughest places. This is Compassion Radio. Today, we're going to jump back into day two of Bram's conversation with a gentleman who truly exemplifies the mission of investing your time, your talents, and your treasure with your brothers and sisters. And in doing so, he's inspiring others to do the same. Here's Bram.
Once again on Compassion Radio, I have Fred Heumann from Artists in Christian Testimony. Fred, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be back.
Now, we've been talking about Ukraine, specifically because Compassion Radio has been invested in Ukraine this past year, and we took on an interesting challenge, trying to help the church in Ukraine find a way to continue an outreach and presence for the gospel in the middle of the war zone of the eastern end of the country, around the cities of Donetsk and Luhansk. Now, that part of the world is still being fought and tumbled over. Someone launches a rocket this way, someone fires back a bullet that way, but there's this no man's land that's predominantly Russian ethnically,
right,
that has had very little witness. Those who have witnessed to the tragedy there and have reached out in the compassion of Christ have been Ukrainians from the central part of the country. So here are these Ukrainians who are being assaulted by Russian troops as well as their factions in the eastern part of Ukraine.
Yeah.
Yet they're going right in the middle of the war zone saying, we love you. We care about you.
Yeah.
It's not about territory. You are people that God has called and wants to save. So we're coming to you in the midst of all this strife. And they're still doing it. So tell me a little bit about what you learned on this last trip to Ukraine.
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, the situation in the east is very, very sad. And in fact, there are cities like Donetsk where there was an entire Christian university, not just a seminary, but a Christian university that's been decimated, and students and faculty members have been redistributed, as it were, all across the country with all these internally displaced peoples. The believers who are there and those who are feeling pretty hopeless who aren't believers have no place to go. So the chance to involve your listeners with New Life Church and the church that they've helped plant on the front line is pretty significant. I just discovered in the last couple of weeks that the church that you guys have been helping with, and our friend Oleg, who had been pioneering that, the pastor that they've been able to find to take on that church, is actually a graduate from the seminary I teach at.
And that's the key right there, the intersection
right
of all of these elements.
Yep.
You leading this particular evangelical seminary in Kyiv has been raising up worship leaders and other people of focused talent. You're helping them to build the body. It's not just one guy sitting in the pulpit trying to hold the whole thing together. It's building teams. It's building a way of working together, an ethic of what it means to be a pastor. And you're developing that ethic into the people at this seminary.
Yeah.
And from that fruit comes people who are ready to go be missional with that education.
Yep.
And those people tend to know people. And here we have Oleg and his New Life Church Fellowship and the church in Luhansk, the Ukraine Evangelical Theological Seminary, and Fred Heumann, our good friend, all intersecting now to answer the prayer that we all raised back in May. Can we find a pastor to go to those people and establish a viable and vibrant congregation that will continue the ministry and keep baptizing new believers in the middle of a war zone?
Yeah.
I think it's a great capsule.
I think so, too. And it continues to blow me away. For as much as I love connecting people, these kind of things always surprise me. People go, why are you surprised? I said, it's because I don't expect it. I just keep doing what I do, and I try to be who I am, and it's just fun to see God do that. And I laugh, you know? It's like, it's just something, just a silly God thing. Not that God's silly, but it's like, it just happens again. It's like God going, watch, here's what I'm doing. Thanks for being a part, but, you know, you're not the only one. Here it goes.
So this is where I turn the mic around and face my audience out here in America and say, thank you.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you all for believing in this project. Thank you for what you did in focusing with us and contributing to the Christ in the Conflict project back earlier this year. We've been able to help fund this new pastor for this coming year. And God surprised even me while we were praying for that. We just wanted to see somebody go. And God said, not only that, I'm going to give them a more permanent home, and actually gave them a building at incredibly low cost, so they were able to get a safer location, but still right in the heart of the action, so they didn't have to spend the winter in the tent. And I was thrilled to learn about that from Oleg himself, who God literally dropped in my lap for the interview we did in California just a few weeks ago. He was stuck on a layover on his way back to Ukraine, and we just happened to be in the same town at the same time. So we were able to network together and bring that update. So folks out there know God is a provider, God is missional, he's intentional, and he's continuing to use the believers there in Ukraine to reach along the entire Silk Road. So this church in Luhansk is part of that. What else can you tell me, Fred, about what's happening there on the mission front facing east?
I can speak from the perspective of UETS, the school that I'm a part of. You know, they now have the largest student body they've ever had, both in part-time and full-time. And loads of people in leadership classes, pastors coming in on the part-time shift who really want to go deeper and further in. Our music students have doubled. 17 of the 22 first-year students have come from the music conferences we've been having the last 3 years. So they've already been kind of pre-trained. You know what I mean? They're already into the ethos we're establishing, and they're coming in. Both in Kyiv and in Lviv, where I was able to teach, there are significant numbers of students who are from the east.
Good.
People who've been displaced. Pastors' kids, they've seen their families go through it. They've been through it. Yet they're anywhere from 17 to 27 teenagers. They're young adults. They're saying, hey, here's my life. Here's what God's called me to do. Help me get to be who I need to be. When I mention it, the room goes quiet and we pray and we cry a little bit. That's reality. But then the kids say, no, this is good. Let's go on.
Fred, you mentioned that you're dealing with displaced people within Ukraine.
Yeah.
Now, we talk about them not being technically refugees because the UN would not recognize them as such.
No, internally displaced.
Now, these people come from the Christian community on the east end of the country. They're evangelicals.
Yep.
Do you have any sense of what kind of numbers we're talking about here? People that were evangelical, that were vibrantly living out their faith in the eastern end of Ukraine that have been displaced or pushed west?
You know, I don't think there's been specific numbers that I can easily quote, but I do know that overall, there's like 1.8 million.
That are internally displaced.
Yes. There were students in Lviv, which is literally the opposite side of the country, who are from Donetsk, who are from Mariupol, who are from Luhansk, who are studying out there, like between New York and Chicago, but in a country where the trunk roads are not all that great. You know, it's going to take you a while to get to and from. So you're a long way from home. You're not going to go back. And you may never see your home again.
If I recall some earlier discussions about the population there, that we're talking about at max 10, maybe 5% of the population were active evangelicals. Is that true?
That sounds right.
So we're looking at a number of 1.8 million. That could be anywhere from 50 to 180,000 Ukrainians, which were believing, vibrant Christians that have been chased out of the eastern end of the country because of the conflict.
Yeah, not even just the Protestant believers. Because of some of the internal issues within the Orthodox Church, the Russian control of the Ukrainian Orthodoxy, you know, there's a lot of Orthodox believers who are not Moscow-affiliated who are not faring very well either. It's all of that. So it's not easy, but these students are being resilient, saying, hey, God's called me. We're going to keep going here. What else can I do? You know, what do you do, crawl into a rock?
Yeah, but some do.
Yeah, exactly. But these kids, you're going, I'm blown away by it. And I get angry when I talk about it, and they cry, and I cry, and then we pray. What else do you do?
And they're doing the same thing at the same time. Fred, let me ask you about the word mercy.
Yeah.
When you talk about internally displaced peoples, it's difficult to use that word mercy when they're facing such privations, such lack of opportunity, so many things stripped from them. But we do talk biblically, theologically, about the fact that God often, in his severe mercies, allows suffering and actually intend suffering for his name's sake, for his kingdom, for his history, his story. And he literally had to kick the church out of Jerusalem the hardest way imaginable in order to save the world.
Yeah, good point.
So God is not often gentle with us when it comes to suffering. And you're seeing this firsthand. So what do you see is becoming the fruit of this internal diaspora that God is creating within Ukraine right now?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think part of it is the tearing down of walls we mentioned earlier. Because again, you may have this doctrinal dispute, but when it comes to life and death, that moves lower down the totem pole, as it were, lower down the list. So you're saying, yeah, you can come stay at my house, or yeah, family, I know you live out there, we may not get along, but you can come live, all 10 of you, in my two-room flat in Kyiv. You know, those kinds of things are happening all over the place. And leaders who wouldn't have necessarily worked together, work together. You know, we have professors at UETS who are from Donetsk who had no other place to go. And so there's cross-pollination that comes as a result, just like you mentioned, in a forced diaspora that sent the church out when they wouldn't move. I think God's doing that to say, hey, you know, you have more in common than you have in difference. So get used to it. Enjoy, appreciate the diversity. As much as people think Ukraine is monolithic, I consistently see more and more of the diversity and how they're committed to that diversity and looking at it in a new and unique way. And it's not diversity without Christians. It's diversity including Christians and within Christians.
When I walk the streets of Kyiv myself, just the mix of African and Slavic with Mediterranean and obviously Islamic roots. There's a lot of stock going into that country, so you see the color of the streets is very much a rainbow.
Yeah.
People that arrive there are coming from all parts of that region of Africa and Asia.
Yep, and they're becoming more missional. I think that's been true over the last years. I know I've addressed this, but seeing it fresh, our school is training more missionaries, having more missionary training opportunities, talking to students about being missional. And so their involvement as Ukrainians in Central Asian republics in terms of teaching and training and sending professors to train pastors and bringing pastors in to be trained has increased. So rather than saying, let's hunker down in our bunker, we see this as being pushed out. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily excluded, but being extruded, you know, going, God, I don't know how I come up with these things that just come out of my mouth. It's the pressure going, now you're going there.
Yeah.
Through the tight place into an open area.
And some of those theirs that we talked about earlier in the year are things we can't even say yet, because there are certain key places along the old Silk Road that are very sensitive countries.
I trust you're enjoying this compelling conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment. As we start off another brand new year, this month we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to the program.
There are underground seminaries that are happening all along the Silk Road, all the way back toward the eastern end of Asia, that are right now equipping pastors within those countries, within those language groups, building congregations, not just bringing the gospel the first time, but planting congregations and sustaining them.
Absolutely. And there are challenges to support people in the east and in Crimea that can be also equally difficult, because there's all kinds of that rubbish going on as a result of the Russian-backed separatists and the Russian annexation of Crimea, that Protestant believers especially are really under a lot of pressure.
And most of those could not get out because they were farther isolated when the conflict broke out.
Yep.
Tell me, Fred, I'm not going to ask you to prognosticate about what's coming in the year 2018 for that part of the world. However, I have learned that when you ask people, what has God laid on your heart to be praying for in the coming months? People start saying things that are a little braver. They can say, yes, in fact, God did impress me to pray about this. I find that eventually those become the very things that God is planning to do. So I'm not afraid to ask you, Fred, what has God laid on your heart recently that you know is going to be a renewed or new focus for you in your prayer life and your prayer efforts going into 2018?
Well, I'm honored to be given that opportunity. I think for me personally, the challenge is to pray for about more time there, and how to undergird that with finance and schedule and all that, because it's not just about me, but some of it, ministry is all about relationship, and relationship is better when you're staring them in the face. Video links are wonderful, but something different about standing there and saying, I'm with you. And I think with the pressure that's on in Ukraine, the more people that come and say, hey, we don't care, we're here. I think as well, increasing the number of team members I can take with and build a more relationship that way. I think the opportunities between Protestant denominations to realize they're in the trenches together. They're not going to throw rocks at each other while in the trench. They need to aim the rocks outside of the trench.
Mm-hmm.
That's a major concern, but I see great hope in terms of the spark in the eyes of younger believers and younger leaders to say, why are we doing this? Why aren't we working together? Why aren't we doing some things? I know that I'm challenging the school to send more students out on a missional basis. Music is a key part in worship. It's also a tremendous tool in evangelization. It's not the only thing, but it needs to be seen as missional rather than just my music and our church and that kind of thing. So I know I'm praying toward how do we challenge my friends and relationships to that. I think getting them going at this stage in life, you know, I've been there, you know, we've known each other a long time. We've been to a lot of countries. We've seen a lot of peoples and a lot of cultures. But I'm all about getting people to do the same thing. So I think kids need to go and do. They need to be trained in evangelism. Yeah. They need to go and be given the tools they need to help. Even if it's a small village church, which is where most of them will be, the tools to find the music that will help them worship God, strengthen the believers, and challenge them to be missional. There's some significant changes coming, mostly in church relationships. I think that's what I see and pray for and hope for. And some of that comes from the relationship. If I can stand there and say, how come you're not talking to him? And they're both in the same room. You know, there's a little more pressure. One person can't necessarily do that, but one person available to God, you never know what kind of assignments he's going to give you.
I do know the power of presence. I've seen it myself, just being there. You are welcomed in like you're a gift. I mean, it's amazing that people will treat you like you are God's man for the hour because you suddenly discover you are. You were willing to go, and God is now going to use you, and the people are willing to receive you. It's incredible what happens there, that God literally makes that welcome happen.
And it's incredibly humbling because all of a sudden you realize you better be careful what you say.
Exactly.
Because people will take it as truth.
Yeah.
Relationship is the issue.
They will treat your words literally.
Yeah, you know, Graham, what you do at Compassion Media is a way to connect people, and we forget that. There's heart-to-heart contact. There's investment contact. But in the end, it's a relational contact. And these kind of ministries, what you guys do, so valid, is connecting people and helping them connect to other people. That's the thing. We think about giving to organizations or giving to an event or a process or a project. Well, when it comes down to it, you're giving to people. We need to realize that relational, interactional, story-based connection. These are real lives. They're not just pictures or projects. So that's the key thing here, I think. Obviously, in Ukraine, they're very relational, and that's one of the things I love.
Yes, they are.
People are what it's about.
Amen to that. I want to remind our listeners, our partners out there, that this very thing that we're talking about right now is why you are so important. Because as you enable these stories to be found, these words to be carried forth into other parts of the world, this communion of saints across the seas, we learn the stories, we start praying for them. And Fred, that's what I can offer you right now, is thousands of people across the states right now that are willing to pray with you and with us about what God's doing in that part of the world. So I'm going to ask you to frame your words now into words that go to the Father.
Okay.
We will pray with you now about what God's going to do in the year 2018. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the believers in Ukraine and across all those places that God's going to send them out.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you have a burden for your people. You have a burden for those you've created, and you want to redeem all of creation. Thank you for burdening us and people like me who go, really? To be available, to go, and to be present. And so often that is it's always the biggest first step, but so often that's the thing that unlocks all kinds of other things. But we pray for leaders in Ukraine. We pray for Christian leaders at the national level, at every area, in the Orthodox, in the Protestant Church, in the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. Lord, we pray for pastors in local churches throughout the nation. We pray for those especially in the eastern regions that are occupied, and for occupied Crimea, that you would fortify them, strengthen them. Bring them today a message from your heart to say, you haven't been forgotten. I'm on your case. I'm working on your behalf. Here's some guidance from me. Understand my love. Lord, and then would you speak to individual believers to give them a sense of mission, a sense that they're not just there to get their jollies, they're not just there to receive the music that they love and the kinds of sermons that they appreciate, but that you would stimulate your people to love and good deeds, that they would go, that they would be challenged to go, that they have much to offer. Encourage them, Father, with your presence. Lord Jesus, as you sent the Holy Spirit, may they be reminded of your love. May they be reminded of the fact that you are our link to the Father. May they be reminded of the fact that you want to work through them to do mighty deeds, that it's not just about people in the West, but that culture there, in its diversity, in its unique combination of peoples and ethnicities, they have much to offer, not just their region, but to the body of Christ as a whole. And Father, more than anything else, may your kingdom come. May your kingdom be extended. May your kingdom grow. Your rule, your reign, your love be brought through these believers and to these believers, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. In Jesus' name.
And in Jesus' name, it is a great amen. May it be so.
Amen.
Fred, thank you for sharing your heart and the latest news from the real front in Ukraine, which is the spiritual battlefront. Because it's been on our hearts as a ministry for the past number of months to be active and engaged with the gospel expansion within Ukraine and that part of the world. I'm praying that God will continue to bring that to our hearts. Continue to quicken our spirits to be focused on things. And folks, if God dropped a popcorn into your mind saying, this thought, this person, this place, these people, that's him prompting you to pray. So as that thought comes to your mind, don't neglect to take that moment to say, God, do your will in this way, in this place. Ask him to be making you mindful of the things he wants prayed for, because this is where God's hand is at work. And our ambition is to see you involved and touching the robes of Christ while he's doing his work, so you'll know where to put your hand to the till, too, to be involved. We do deeply appreciate our Compassion Radio audience and partners, the folks that have made it possible for us to remain on the air, the folks that make it possible for us to continue going to the places where God's hand is at work in amazing ways, and to help bring us back to tell you that story over the months that follow. We look forward with great anticipation in 2018 for the opportunity to go with people like Fred to see more and more what God's doing and what opportunities are opening up that were not there before. Thank you for sending us, folks. Thank you for sustaining us. And Fred, thank you for being such a great friend of Compassion Radio.
We love it. Thank you for your involvement and investment in what we do. We're glad to be partners with you.
Another great conversation, as always, here on Compassion Radio. And keep in mind, friend, that you can listen again easy as can be by visiting CompassionRadio.com. All of our programs are archived right there on the website. Now, before we close for the day, here's a good word for the new year from Bram.
Happy New Year, friends. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten, that their suffering matters to God and to God's people. Friends, in 2018, we're taking one of the most important steps in the history of our ministry as we refocus on the primary purpose of helping to unite the body of Christ around the world through interactive reporting and transformational encounters. So for 2018, I'm inviting you to join us in the most important work that Compassion Radio has ever done. It begins today with your prayers, encouragement, and financial support of Compassion Radio. 2017 year-end giving was sufficient enough for us to stay on track and on this station. But we don't have the luxury of waiting passively this month. Simply put, we need you. We need to come out of the gate at full speed, in the full confidence of God's Spirit and the unity of God's people. If you've never been a part of our Compassion Radio team before, now is the time. If even 1,000 of you, spread across the hundreds of radio stations where this program is heard daily, would make the decision to join our vision team with even a small monthly gift. Every question facing us, every challenge before us would immediately turn into opportunities and even more compelling programming for you. Would you pray about this right now? If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Call us with your gift today to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram Floria and the entire Compassion Radio team, Happy New Year, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the next edition of Compassion Radio.